In 1972, Mary Craig was apprehended by Jesus Christ. Ever since, she has ministered to people around the world with her gifts in teaching, counseling, and healing. She holds a BA with honors in humanities from Florida Atlantic University, an MA magna cum laude in biblical and theological studies from Knox Theological Seminary, and the Doctor of Practical Ministry from Trinity Theological Seminary. An author and international speaker, Mary is a certified biblical counselor and teacher. Mary Craig Ministries is a frontline ministry called to do strategic spiritual warfare over the nations where God sends her, which includes 68 nations on all 7 continents. Well, welcome to the show, Pastor Mary. How are you today?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Well, I was getting ready to say, I'm really glad that you're here. And I want to tell our listeners, a lot of them know my background as author of War of the Angels and Spiritual Warfare. This show is generally a half hour, but I will probably let it go a little bit longer because Pastor Mary's not just a pastor. She's an author, and she has written a book about the weapons on warfare. And we are going to just be talking. You're going to learn more about spiritual warfare than you've ever heard before, and I guarantee it'll just be the tip of the iceberg. And I know a lot of you are fascinated with the dark side and with Satan and Ouija boards and all that. And let me put it to you this way. I'm not a betting man, because early when I was a little kid, I realized if I ever made a bet, I never won. But let's say, I know some of you are sports fans. Let's say that you go to Las Vegas and you place this bet. You bet that the Indianapolis Colts will beat the New Orleans Saints in last year's Super Bowl. Now you're thinking, well, that is stupid. They already played it. The Colts got beat. And I'm here to tell you, Satan versus Jesus, they already played it and Satan got beat. So if you want to pick the losing team, then just stay infatuated with Satan. And Pastor Mary is going to, I guess, expound on that a little bit. Now, Pastor Mary, why don't you just start out by telling us a little about yourself?
Okay, well, I had not intended to get into spiritual warfare starting out in my life. I really grew up where most people would think I was in the right place and the right family and went to the right school and da-da-da. And I actually went to church. I grew up in the church. We were there like 5 days a week. But then, you know, I felt kind of something, some kind of a void or whatever. And but, you know, life goes on. And then it got to a point after I was married and everything that someone came to our house and he started asking me questions, and he said, well, you know, do you think you're going to go to heaven? And I said, oh, sure, you know, absolutely, I'm going to heaven, right? Because, you know, but then he asked me, well, if you found yourself standing before God, and he said, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? And I started giving my Christian resume, as I call it, right? I started saying, well, I sang in the choir, I went to Sunday school, I teach Sunday school, you know, I do vacation Bible school, blah, blah, blah. And that was wrong, see. And so I realized I was presuming something, and I was basically clueless. So he left it at that, but my husband, I kept thinking, oh, this is great, because I did want to go back to church, and my husband kind of didn't believe in anything. He thought, when you died, you would just be annihilated. And he was kind of into Eastern religions and such. So at the end, we pray this simple prayer. He looked at it like, I have nothing to lose. If it's not truth, you know, what difference does it make? But if it is, hey, there might be something really here. So the next week, this man and some other people came back to our house, and, you know, they start talking, the same thing, deal goes down. But I thought it was funny because our cat started acting up. And I said to this man, I said, wow, I said, you know, it's almost like there's something that doesn't want us to hear this message. I said, look at this. My cat's just acting, you know, really strange here. And so I said, wow, I think we need to hear more. Well, so we heard more, and then that night something very strange happened, because suddenly there was like a war going on in our living room, and I knew it was between God and Satan. And I knew that the war was over my soul, and I really didn't know who would win this war, God or the devil. And I was screaming because, hey, you know, this was my life, right, in the balance. So I'm screaming, and this goes on for about an hour. I mean, I could sense this battle going on in the atmosphere, and I knew it was over me. And then suddenly everything got quiet, and I thought, uh-oh, somebody won. And then I got real still, and it was, I couldn't really move, and I'm hearing, you know, Mary, that's my Mary, be still and know that I am God. I am the living spirit, and I have come to live within you. You have died, but because I live and live forever, you will live forever. And this voice, which was the voice of the Lord, went on and start. Basically, I was indicted for the sin of unbelief, that I hadn't truly believed, you know, the Bible and believed in God and whatever. So that was the beginning of what the Bible calls being born again, or being born out of God, or being born from above. And so life went on, and I, you know, for a lot part of my Christian life, you know, I went to church and things were fine, and prayed and read the Bible and did fellowship and stuff like that. But then it got to the point where I started praying. Stuff started happening at this church we were going to, and I got very frustrated, and a couple of things were going on at the same time. On one end, I actually stood in my living room, and I faced where this church was, and I said, God, if this is what you honor, if this is what you honor because of stuff going on there, I said, I want out. I want out of this church, and I want out of Christianity, and if it's possible for the covenant with Jesus Christ to be broken, I want it broken. And I, you know, I knew somewhat what I was saying there, but I was just so frustrated, and I think I was, like a lot of people, offended. I was so frustrated, disappointed. I was disappointed in God. I was disappointed in the church, and I think I'm like a lot of people that feel there's an offense. Something happens, and you just get hurt, you get wounded, and it's just really bad. So that's what had happened to me. But then simultaneously with that, there was also this real desire in me. I said, I would say to God, you know, I don't just want the book of the Lord. I want the Lord of the book. If the Lord of the book is out there, meaning the Bible, if the Lord of the book is out there, I want the Lord of the book. And I thought, you know, the church, it has to be, there has to be more. There has to be something else. Well, that kind of threw me into a battle, and that battle really was with Satan. And I had a time when I literally was crawling. I was not physically sick, but there was so much oppression in the house that I had to I was physically crawling on my hands and knees to this chair where I would sit and pray, or I don't know, just be frustrated or whatever. But I would sit in the chair. Actually, I'm in that same place right now while we're talking, where we're, you know, talking. And so I was frustrated like that. And this war was going on. This really, the battle was still raging with Satan. But I can tell you, Satan is real and God is real. And I can also tell you that at a certain point, it was the first time I ever addressed Satan out loud. I just said, okay, devil, you know, I know the word of God. Jesus Christ has the keys of death and hell, has overcome the grave, and I don't really believe that you can take my life, but even if you do, the cause of Jesus Christ is greater than me as an individual person. And that pretty much shut the devil up at that point.
I'm led to say something, if I could interrupt
okay.
you just one moment. Father God, in the name of Jesus and with the power of his blood, I ask that you keep all the dark forces away from this broadcast, and also to protect the listeners who may not have a relationship with Jesus, if you could cover them long enough so they could listen to this. In Jesus' name, amen. And I say that because what we're talking about is real, and I wanted to put that covering over us so we can continue uninterrupted and with a smile on our face.
Okay.
Okay.
I agree. And what I've seen since that time, what happened is that I did overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. The testimony is the testimony of Jesus Christ. That it says in Revelation that we love not our lives even unto the end. I know that my life is in the hands of God. What God has shown me is that basically it's a matter of God having inherent authority. His authority is inherent, and all other authority is delegated or derived from God's authority, and we don't like that. And Satan didn't like it. And he wanted to be as God. He was the anointed cherub. He was who covers. He was like right next to God, you know, in the presence of God. But he wanted more. He didn't like that he was, you know, he's a created being, and God is the creator. Satan didn't like, or Lucifer, he didn't like. And he wanted to be as God. We're not too much far off from that ourselves. People don't like. They want to do what they want. We have a hard time with authority, and we want to rebel. And basically, when we look at Jesus' life, his life is called in the Bible one righteous act of obedience. He obeyed the Father. Jesus is God, but he chose to come from heaven to earth and live a life that we cannot live. We don't want to live all of our lives obeying our creator, even though by virtue of the creator-creature relationship alone, we owe God that obedience. And we don't like that. We want to use another wisdom. We want to reason it out. We want to do our own thinking. We just don't like. And so basically, Jesus came and was sent by the Father to live a life that we cannot live. We're trusting his life as much as his death. And also, the way God worked it out, you know, and it's his heaven, it's his creation, this is all belongs to God, the way he said was that Jesus would come, and he, as God in the flesh, and he would live this life that pleases God. He would also die a death that satisfied the divine justice of God. Basically, he took the rap. He took the punishment. He took the death sentence.
Now, if he did all that for us, why was there so much hatred directed toward Jesus? And even today, the name of Jesus, after 2,000 years, still draws so much emotion one way or the other.
And that is so true. That is so true. You can have somebody say this name or that name, or they can be, as I say, you know, worshiping the rat god or the goat god or the tiger or some animal thing or some other thing, and nobody gets alarmed. But if they put up a cross or if there's the mention of Jesus, or somebody pulls a Bible out, you know, a teacher puts a Bible on a desk or something like that, woohoo, right?
Right.
It's really a thing.
I see on the news media all the time, these tremendous things happen all over the world about Jesus, doesn't make the news, nobody says anything about it, but you let somebody see the face of Jesus on a tortilla, and they put that on TV for a month and just have the best laugh they've had all along. Ah, ha, ha, these stupid Christians seeing him on a tortilla. Yeah, everybody, what do you think about that? And it's just, that's the way it is today.
And they don't know that they're living out the scriptures, because the Bible says that the gospel, the way of Christ, the way that God has provided, is foolishness. It's foolishness to the world. And yet God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And God has said that those who think they're not going to stand before their creator someday and give an account of their lives, they're the fools, right? They're foolish.
Right.
But what it is, I believe, is that, and of course the devil incites a lot of this as well, but we want, there's something when we get around holiness that we want to kill the Creator and take His place. That's what we want. If left to our own little, the desires of our hearts, we would like to kill the Creator and take His place. And Satan thought he accomplished that when Jesus died on the cross. He thought, there, now. Because he knows, he's always known exactly who Jesus Christ is.
He knows he's lost, but all these people here in this world who think they know something when they don't really know anything admire Satan. And you hear people say, oh, I'm a Satanist, like they're bragging. They're not a Satanist. They just think it sounds cool.
Well, it's a desire for power, and it is, you know, the spirit that mocks Jesus is Asmodeus spirit, mocks the means of grace and mocks anything can find connected to, you know, mocking the means of grace. But it's because there's no way back. Well, let me put it this way. All of salvation, what we call salvation, is about getting back to the Father. When the forerunner people, Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned, he did what we technically call plunge humanity into the estate of sin and misery. And all he had to do, he could do anything he wanted, talk about, you know, freedom of whatever, except for eat of one tree, the fruit of one tree. That's all. It was all that was forbidden him. And then the devil comes along to Eve in the form of a serpent and basically gets her to question, hath God said, see? And so she starts thinking on her own and reasoning this out. And basically the devil wanted Eve and all of us to question the goodness of God. Is God really good? And he wants us to think God is not good. You're not going to find wisdom there, and you're not going to have life there. You're going to have it somewhere else. And so they kind of like pulled the umbilical cord, so to speak, to the source and sustainer of all life and blessing and plugged in somewhere else, and that brought death.
Now, to you listeners, I want to reiterate what Pastor Mary just said in case it just slipped by you. In the Garden of Eden, Satan did not go up to Eve and go, boo, and scare her to death. He will not come up to you, probably. He might, depending on what you're doing, and go, boo. You're going to hear these little whisperings, you can do that. It's not hurting anybody. And then he's going to work on your mind. So you've got to be aware at all times that little whispering you hear, you've got to test it. But anyway, I just wanted to reiterate something that Pastor Mary said about that, about the trying to reason with you.
And that's true, because the strongholds are in the mind. The strongholds are in the mind, and Satan does go after the mind, and he wants us to turn to another wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God, and he wants us to turn away from that wisdom and look to another wisdom, and he wants us to, you know, he has a twofold agenda. Number one, to get us to curse God and die, or to maneuver us into a position where we are cursed by God and die. So Satan doesn't particularly have a lot of power in and of himself. And God has all power in every sense. God has kratos, which is government, dominion power. God has authority, all authority. He has ability, dunamis, from which we get dynamite. He has working energy. He has working power. He's the complete source of all energy. And he has the power of greatness. And he has the power to create. He has creative power. He has all the power, right?
and he's given that to us.
In Christ.
In Christ,
those,
yes.
Those who are in Christ can come to know that power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He has power within himself. God is the source and sustainer. And people have trouble with authority, like I said, and I think it's because they really don't understand that God is for life. God has life. Satan is a murderer, a destroyer, and Satan is for death. Satan is for death and destruction. This is a major difference between God and the devil. It's a difference between life and death. And if you can picture, like, God over the years has sent me to 67 nations doing spiritual warfare. I was in Brazil, and they have this river there where two rivers meet. It's the meeting of two rivers. And one river is teeming with life, but it comes right up next to this other river that is a river of death, such that if something that was in the river of life happened to get pushed over or crosses over into this other space, the river of death, it just dies. It dies. And there's like this boundary, but it's kind of invisible. There's a boundary between the river of life and the river of death there in Brazil at this river. And that's kind of the way it is. When Adam and Eve sinned, we call it sin, it's because they disobeyed God and kind of rebelled against God's authority. So they moved from that river of life where everything was alive and living into this other place of death. And they were separated from God. And most people don't understand that God is for life. And the way God looks at it is when we cross the boundaries, transgress, it's called, when we cross the boundaries, when we do something that endangers life, when we threaten the life of the community, when we seek to harm ourselves and others, we are like in that place of death. And that's how God looks at it, and that's it in a broad sense. And so out of his love, God does not want us in the place of death, anything that's going to harm us. But Satan does. He wants us to harm ourselves and harm others as much as possible. He wants us in to be destructive the way he's destructive. He's so mad. There's no way back. There's no way back for angels that fell when they did wrong in God's eyes. There's no way back for them. And the spirit world, you know, they really on both sides look at people and they think, why would God ever save a human being? Look at them, you know? What do they know? They hardly know anything.
Right.
And they're just amazed. But the devil's mad, like, well, you let some people come to Jesus Christ and get back to the Father, but not us. See, there's no way back. But the devil knows, the demons know who Jesus is. They even say, we know who you are, Jesus, thou Son of God. Have you come to torment us before the time? So there is torment waiting. There is torment waiting for the devil and the devil's side.
So how do we avoid that?
We avoid that by basically hearing what's called the call of the gospel. The gospel means good news. It means good news, and we hear that call that's going out that says that God loves us, right? He wants us to have life. And Jesus Christ came in the power of an endless life. He lived a life that we couldn't live, and he died the death that we deserve. And he rose again from the dead because death could not hold him. Jesus Christ he was tempted in all points like we are, like in every kind of way you could be tempted. But he was sinless. He did not commit any sin. It wasn't in his heart. He didn't have it in his heart to disobey his Father at all. It just wasn't there. Rebellion is not in the heart of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says we just believe. We need to recognize that we have fallen short of the glory of God, meaning we're not perfect. Even if we were ivory soap, 99.44% pure.
So when people have the attitude, I'm not worthy?
I say amen, you're not.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not worthy of it. As a matter of fact, in the Bible, we have this little joke at our ministry, Craig House, because the Bible, you know, pretty much says that we're dust, and we're worms, right? But then in Isaiah someplace it says, but I love you, you worm, Jacob. So that's our joke. We're worms, but God loves worms. So, hey, praise the Lord. But we're not worthy. And when people, I know people feel they are what I call shame-based, because they have a sense of shame and guilt. They have a conscience. And they know, you know, they've done wrong. Something inside of them tells them that they have offended a holy God. See, we're not the only ones that get offended. God gets offended. People reject God, and actually the wrath of God is the agony of rejected love, that God's love is being rejected. Well, we don't like it when people reject us. Well, God doesn't like it either. The difference is in the balance of power, see?
I hear from people all the time that say, I tried to be good for Jesus. I really tried it, and I couldn't do it. I went ahead and did something wrong, and now somebody whispered to me, God doesn't love you anymore.
Well, that isn't so, because if a person is, because God is a God of covenant. People like that don't understand that God is a God of covenant. God relates to all of humanity and even to his creation in what we call covenant. It began in the beginning when he made a covenant with Adam, and there's all these covenants, and he deals in covenant. So that, and when God calls a person to salvation, they are effectually called. In other words, nothing can stop it. You can't resist it. We're talking about the Holy Spirit applying what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross in his atoning work. The blood of Jesus Christ is a blood covenant. It's a blood covenant, and it's the highest blood covenant in the universe. It is so powerful that it will break lesser blood covenants. I've actually been called to go to the nations to break the blood curse. That's part of my call, break the blood curse. And how is that blood curse? Sometimes people have made little blood covenants. Right? But the highest blood in the universe is the blood of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God as though he were not man, and he was fully human as though he were not God. He's the God-man, and he's infinite. There's no higher blood. And so that's what people don't understand. If you belong to Jesus Christ, all those that God the Father has given to Jesus Christ, Jesus will not lose one person. He will not lose. I call it, people need to move to the faith of Jesus Christ.
I know millions of you have heard differently on national TV, on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and I'm not afraid of getting sued or whatever, because it's on YouTube all over the place, her saying it. And Oprah, with all of her followers, said, you must overcome Jesus. You have to overcome the cross. This idea of sin destroys people. It makes them think they're not worth anything. So we need to find other ways than this sinful cross. And not in those words, but it's all over YouTube. And she is so wrong. There is this blood covenant. And the cross is to save you from all that other stuff, not to send you into it. You can't. Okay, let's say this way. Pastor Mary touched on this. You're not worthy. You're going to jump off a bridge. Oh, I'm going to jump off this bridge. I'm just not worthy. Well, you deserve to jump off that bridge, and you're not worthy. However, you know, Jesus already jumped off that bridge for you. So you would just totally be wasting your time and effort, because it's already been jumped. Your price is paid. He paid for you. So that's what Jesus is doing. It's not to call you a sinner. It's to cleanse you. You didn't do it. When the devil accuses you, he's going to say, oh, you know, okay, you go to court. And the devil's a prosecutor. You did this and you did that. And they say, well, we have to prove it. And they open up the book of life, and there's all the things that you really did. You really did it. But they're covered in blood. You can't read it. Case dismissed. You didn't do it.
Yeah, the gospel actually is not that we're innocent and deserve heaven or eternal life. It's the fact that we are guilty. We are guilty. We are not worthy of it. But God in his grace has provided a way back to him that is not dependent on what we do. It's on the basis of what Jesus Christ did in our behalf. It's really sad because I do believe that people look in the mirror, and when they look in the mirror or even pick up a Bible, they feel unworthy. You know, they feel like dirt. They feel like they're in that river of death, and they're not in the streaming, active, energetic river of life. And the irony is that, see, how does one truly become a saint? Well, believers in Jesus Christ are actually, in the Word of God, called saints. It means, in Greek, it's hagios. It means holy one. But that holiness or that righteousness is not something that we have intrinsically. It's something that is laid to our account. It's actually the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is put on us like a garment. We're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ like a garment. I had, years ago, I was reading this book. It's real heavy. I don't know what I was doing reading it years ago. But anyway, it was a book by J.C. Ryle, R-Y-L-E, called Holiness. And I'm reading this book, and I'm sitting on the couch reading this book, and I'm just, oh, I'm feeling worse and worse, you know. I'm reading about the holiness of God, and I'm reading about just holiness in general, and I'm just thinking, oh, there's no hope for me, right? My life was banned in Boston already. And then I had this, like, vision, and I saw myself in all these rags. I saw myself, like, in rags and filthy dirty and all like that. But then coming from the right of me came this figure, and the figure was Jesus Christ coming, and he covered me up with his robe, and he covered me, you know, I was completely covered over with his righteousness. And then I saw, like, oh, kind of like far, not too far off, but far off was God, a holy God. And I thought, wow, the only way I can approach a holy God, I had to have this covering on me. I had to have this garment on me that covered me up and in order to approach. But then I was able to approach. I was able to go right up there with the righteousness of Jesus Christ garment on and go right up boldly to a throne of grace. And I could come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace and favor in a timely way. And as I did that, what I came to realize is that, yes, on the outside, I have a garment of righteousness that actually is a big weapon of warfare against Satan and the kingdom of darkness. I am clothed with Jesus Christ. I'm clothed with the light of the gospel. I have life. I have life, the power of an endless life operating in me. And this is true for any true believer. I have truth in the inward parts, and God doesn't lie. It's a love without a lie. And then what happens is that God declares me on the basis of Jesus Christ and what he has done. He declares me holy, blameless, and without reproach. Whoa, that's how I get something, right? I don't have worth because it's in me. I have worth because I am precious to God, the Creator, Redeemer. And God has said, I've chosen to love this person, and I'm like if you've ever gone into a museum and you see that on a stand they'll have some very, oh, it's so precious you can't put a monetary value on it, you know, and they have it under glass and it's got lights on it and, you know, it's protected, right? Okay, right. Well, that's how I am as a true believer before the Creator God. I'm precious. like that. And he says, don't touch my anointed. This one's mine.
Can you imagine? Father God has many names, but one of them is El Elyon. That's the God of power. And that's the one that Satan screams out. That's what he wants to be, the God of power, the wrath of God. I'll show everybody. And can you imagine if you're covered, like Pastor Mary just said, and you just walking right up to the throne where God's sitting and go, hi, Daddy. And he says, well, come here, Mary. And all the angels look and go, wow, can you believe that? Just being able to walk up to him like that. And that, to me, is amazing. And Satan shakes his head. He can't believe it. I don't think he'd have that much love in him anyway. He wants to, well, we're out of time. I'm going to have to... We've been talking to Pastor Mary Craig, and she's an author, and I want you to go to this website. You need to, because we haven't even started yet, have we, Pastor Mary?
No, we're just getting going.
It's www.marycraig, that's with a C-R-A-I-G, .org. And before we started, I made a little comment to her, marycraig.org, you must have got that when the internet was first invented, because you can't find your own name like that anyway. But go there. There's a book, The Weapons of Our Warfare, and it's got the table of contents. And Pastor Mary, I'm looking, each one of these chapters is a week's worth of shows just by itself. So it's important to go there. And would you come back again sometime?
Oh, I'd love to.
Because, like
my
I said,
favorite subject, glorifying Jesus.
We have, and stepping on Satan's head. He's nothing.
That's right.
I was scared of it when this first happened to me. I didn't know what was going on. I was a Christian when I was a kid, and I got away from it. Never thought about Jesus. So when Satan popped in front of me, I didn't know what was going on. But now it's the point. After you walk in faith for so long, you just go, oh, it's you. I don't have time for you now. You know, go. I'm busy. And when you have the Holy Spirit in you like that, Satan would rather go find somebody else. He just won't come around. It's like the bully that gets punched in the nose. He doesn't want to bully that kid anymore. But we are out of time. And Pastor Mary Craig, I do thank you so much for coming here. There's so much more to talk about. And you listeners out there, tune in again. Go to cspnradio.com and keep an eye on what's going on there when she'll be back. And you've been listening to WOTA Radio Network on CSPN.